You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Fosma Moon, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 569 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined today by Mr. Seth Miller and maybe Mr. Fosma Moon. We'll see.
Yeah, if he bothers to show up, you know.
I think he forgot.
We're forgettable people. What can I say?
Oh, I don't know. Speak for yourself, man. Well, you had
I had a question of the week, but I think it's less fun without Foz here.
Do you want to hold off on it to see if he comes and then we can talk about it?
You know, we're going to be all together in person next week. I think we're going to hold it for that.
Okay, that sounds good. All right. If you have questions for us, listeners.
Yes. They don't have to be aviation related. This one is not.
It's not aviation related.
It's aviation adjacent.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting thing. I was reading someone's threads. I hate threads, but I was just browsing it because I doom scroll, apparently. And someone was posting about they had just bought for their entire family $5,000-$6,000 tickets to London and Rome for the summer. And they put all of the spend on a United card. And this brought me back to like our discussion that we had last week about which card should you choose.
Definitely not that one. We did get some feedback from listeners. There's a fee-free city something card, Stadia or something like that.
Strata. Yeah. City Strata. Yeah.
That one came up. Someone recommended a built card as well. I'm a little hesitant on built for several. I like that it's a transferable currency, but the shenanigans with the bank swap and whatever were weird.
Yeah.
Obviously don't expect that to happen often, but it leaves a little bit of a bad taste in my mouth. So we'll see.
Leaves you hesitant.
Yeah, go ahead.
It leaves you hesitant with it.
I also don't have mortgage spend that I need to put on it or try to account for, so that shifts some of the calculation there for me.
Can you go a little bit of detail on that? How does the mortgage spend work?
I don't know, but I know it's part of that and rent were like some of the big selling points for Built in terms of places to earn points, even if you're not actually running the spend through the card. So
gotcha. Okay. I need to look at the mortgage spend piece of it. I haven't
into
it much. So have you decided on anything, or are you still thinking?
Right now I have moved a good chunk of my spend over to my Amex Platinum. Excuse me, Amex Gold, as we discussed.
Amex Gold, okay.
Which is what I've had. That one, I think the annual fee is due in March, so I have a little bit of time to decide if I want to keep doing that. And I got some bonus points last year as a retention, so if I did cash it out, it'd be okay. But figure it out.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Let's talk about Greenland. I mean, do we really want to go this heavy to start off? I mean, maybe
no.
No? Should we wait then? What do you think?
Is there any, I mean, what do we know? Nothing.
Nothing. I think, so I was going to write something, and I probably still will write something. There's been a lot of talk from the Trump administration about Greenland. Stephen Miller was on Jake Tapper and kind of just made straight up remarks saying, we'll just take it if we want it. Which is grandstanding, but it's also, you have to take them at their word. And it raises a question for me, like, what does that mean for aviation? Because I think the remedy for the European Union and NATO, if this was to happen, if the United States was to forcibly try to take Greenland or, you know, just assert control over it, would be overflight to Europe, or even landings in Europe for European carriers. And I think European and U.S. carriers, I think they would just full stop reject U.S. carriers. I think that would be the remedy. And it would cripple U.S. aviation.
Transatlantic, sure, yeah.
Yeah. It would affect India. It'd affect, I mean...
Yeah.
But I think that's the only non-aggressive remedy for such threats or follow-through from the administration.
Yeah. I mean... Also raises the question of what happens if they just ignore it, but.
Yeah, I mean, I think landing authorities and stuff, you can just not park the planes. There's ways around that. It hasn't worked for Russia. I think that's a different scenario, but I think.
It hasn't. It has certainly affected hard currency reserves in Russia. It has affected aviation safety in Russia. It has affected over time, and it does take some time for some of these things to happen. It has affected aviation capacity and total passengers carried in Russia. Some report out I saw earlier this week saying that it's the numbers are down.
Yeah.
For the first time year over year in a long time. So
fewer people traveling within Russia or to destinations that they're allowed to travel to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think like that would the European Union doing that might be enough. There's been some statements too that like, oh, well, you know, we're part of NATO and we're the biggest protector of NATO and we can put troops there if we want. That's, no one's disputing that. And actually the treaty, like there's been a drawdown of US troops in Greenland since like Bush, Jr.
Yeah.
So like, I think that a lot of people expect us to just go back in. And if we wanted to, we could have. There's nothing stopping us from having troop buildups in Greenland. I think it's just a hot button issue to get people riled up. And
staging troops there is different than claiming it as American territory.
Exactly. It's a lot to think about. And I think U.S. carriers should be terrified. Like if I was the executive of a U.S. airline that flies transatlantic, and yeah, I'm looking at my summer schedule and I'm looking at what the statements are, I think I would be probably calling the White House and saying, is this for real? Because if it's for real, this could, you know, upend our way of making money in the summer.
Yeah. Apropos of the Russia comment, I'm just looking at, and again, I've got scheduled data, not necessarily as flown from Sirium, but there, I am intrigued that Russia seats, this is either to or from or within Russia, so at least one end is in Russia, but domestic counts.
Okay.
147 million seats scheduled for 2025 is still below the 2018 level. It never really fully rebounded from COVID. We dropped just below 100 million.
Yeah.
But it was still sequentially increasing 23, 24, 25. So that's also, that would include foreign airlines. I wonder if I limit it just to Russia.
Just Russian carriers? Because like Turkish flies there and they've increased flying there.
At Emirates and Fly Dubai. And if I look at just domestic, yeah, domestic seat capacity did drop from 25 to 20, from 24 to 25.
Interesting.
Yeah. But the number, also interesting, the numbers are significantly higher than pre-COVID. 2019 was 79 million domestic seats. 2020 was 69 million. 21 jumped to 92 million, and it has stayed between 90 to 93, depending on the year since then.
So it stayed steady. It hasn't fallen.
It's down a smidgen year over year, but you know, 92.6, then 93.6, then 92.6 again for 23, 24, 25.
Okay.
So, you know, down a tiny bit in capacity, and then who knows which actually operated because of, you know,
maintenance. Well, here's an interesting like question for that is, yeah, do you think they're capacity constrained because they don't have the planes?
Yes.
Domestically? So they're kind of like, well, this is as much as we can grow and that's it.
Yeah. And there's also what's scheduled and then what actually operates, right? This was a thing for a long time in China of the airlines never actually culled their schedules. Really, they did a little bit, but not fully culled during COVID. So, like, tracking sites would report 30 to 40% cancellations on a day-to-day basis, but no one, they never sold tickets on the flights. They never expected to operate them, but they never actually trimmed the schedules for whatever reason.
Okay. So it could be something similar there in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about Alaska a little bit, Alaska Airlines. They got a new 787 delivered.
Yeah. Well,
What? All right, go ahead.
It's still a Hawaiian Airlines plane.
I mean, this is kind of the thing, right? It's an Alaska livery airplane.
Yeah.
But it's operated by Hawaiian.
Hawaiian reg on it.
Yep. Has a registration for Hawaiian. Which is, I thought the certificates were now merged.
April.
It was not till April. Okay. So that's why it's a Hawaiian plane.
Yeah. I think it's the certificates and the PSS and everything merges in April.
That's right. You're correct. I forgot about that.
Hawaiian joins One World.
What do you think of the paint job?
I think it's nice, right? It's a twist on Euro white. The color goes a little further up the tail or up the fuselage. I mean,
I'm kind of with you. I think it's fine. I think it's nicer than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
The way the renderings made it look, I thought it was going to be like kind of gaudy. But it's nice. It's got some texture to it. It looks good. I don't love that everybody's just painted the front of their planes white and that's the way things are going to be. Yeah, but other than that, I think it was nice. It was weird that Sean Duffy was there at Alaska HQ at the hangar,
okay,
giving some speech. I thought that was strange. But yeah, it's good that they have another 787. Will they get more in a timely fashion? We talked about this a little bit last week. They're set to get some more soon. Do you think that actually transpires?
Yeah. I mean, more or less close to on time at this point.
Okay. That's good news.
I think. I mean, right, within what is on time, but right, if you rebook the, if you rebuild your schedule enough, everything's on time to the latest part of the calendar.
We've adjusted. Yeah.
Yeah. Go gave themselves a report card for a rollout of their new connectivity solutions for 2025, and they gave themselves a very good score based on actually completing things in 2025 that were scheduled to be completed in 2022. I don't know. Rokotio, the revised plan, had it in 2025. So, I mean, met that target. Yeah, I rolled my eyes a lot at that one. Anyway, no, I think they're going to have a couple more coming. Obviously, they need them for the transatlantic growth.
Yep.
So I would say they certainly would not have added those new routes to the schedule and put them on sale if they had concerns, you know, without strong confirmation from Boeing that it was happening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point. The other thing that I and some others have stumbled upon is on the Alaska earnings page, there is now a link for ITA Airlines. ITA, the Italian carrier, formerly known as
mostly by Lufthansa Group. So.
Yes. And technically part of the Star Alliance?
Are they part of the Alliance yet? They're part of the Alliance, but not the JV?
Yeah, I think it's something. Where we talked about it on the show, they're going to become part of the JV.
They're trying to get that in, which originally wasn't going to be allowed, I thought, by the Italian government for the merger, but whatever.
Yeah.
Is they're listed, is there actually like numbers behind it, or is it just like an icon with no link?
It's, let me look real quick.
The only thing, a screenshot, I couldn't click on it.
Yeah, it was just a screenshot. I apologize. Partners here.
There's no link.
There's no link, but it's kind of like they've done this before where they're like, oh, this is going to be an earning partner for us. And then they don't provide any other details. So it's interesting because it's brand new. It's like someone accidentally put this up without any kind of announcement. Only earning partners. Don't love that, but it's weird to me because the Alaska flight is going to be Seattle to Rome.
Yeah.
ITA doesn't really operate much domestically out of Rome, right? Like even into the EU much out of Rome. They're really based at Linate. Is that how you say it?
Linate is how I say it.
Yeah. So I'm trying to understand the play here. It's not like, it's just like giving us an earning option maybe for revenue fares.
Well, also it doesn't have to be domestic. It can be onward.
From Rome? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're going to start selling ITA Airways tickets. I mean, because that's what it says. It says book on alaskaair.com and earn when you fly to your favorite places, including on ITA. So, I don't know. I don't know what to think.
I did try to manually type in the URL and it didn't work.
There's Foz. Hey, Foz.
No, Foz is working. Maybe. No, we'll get him on here eventually. Still can't hear you, Foz. Keep trying.
Better.
Yeah, there you go.
Double muted for the win.
Are you going to start crediting all your ITA flights to Alaska Airlines now?
No, I don't think I really intend to fly ITA, but you know.
It's a pretty blue plane.
I don't understand that partnership, but we'll see.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Etihad to Luxembourg. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, what I was going to say is they do fly onward. Not a ton from Milan, but they will fly onward. Somewhat, you know, not necessarily just domestic stuff, I think. So that might.
Okay. But it's not from Rome, though. You know what I mean?
That's a fair point. I can look at the schedule and see what they have out of Milan, but
like if Alaska is trying to sell you onward connections, they would have to be through Milan.
And more importantly, is it Linate or Malpensa? It's,
well, and they're based at Linate.
And right. They actually have nothing at Malpensa.
Yeah.
Huh.
The plot thickens.
Yeah. Alaska's flying to Rome. What are you talking about?
That's what I mean.
Right.
But ITA has all sorts of connections at Rome.
Yeah.
To where?
Everywhere.
It's all the Alitalia stuff.
Everything is at Rome. They never moved to Malpensa. They have nothing.
No. But I thought that they were like their main base was Linate, and so.
Well, I mean, in Milan, yes, but their main base is Rome, Fiumicino.
Okay. So maybe there's onward connection stuff. We just spent like 5 minutes talking about each other in circles.
Yeah.
So that was.
Yeah.
That was,
sorry, I completely right over my. Entirely to the hair. Yeah, lots of options out of Rome. I'm completely misheard you. Sorry.
Maybe this is like a dig at Delta trying to start up Seattle to Rome. And they're like, well, look, we can offer connections to other places in Europe.
Which, well, it's not just Europe, though. It's beyond that, too. That's the other thing to consider. Like, all around the Med,
Africa.
Africa too, yeah.
I mean, but I think Alaska needs it to fill that flight.
Right.
Does Delta, though, also? Probably.
Yeah, but Delta's in a better position to just burn money.
I mean, that's an interesting concept. They're in a better position to burn money.
Alaska's too busy paying Accenture to fix their IT problems. Delta just doesn't pay for their IT problems.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think the biggest problem right now for Alaska is the OAuth, two-factor authentication. Like that, they gotta fix it.
Oh, they don't think it's a problem. Broken. They don't think it's a problem.
Why do you think that?
Because I've actually had exchanges with them saying how awful it is, and basically like, well, this is how it's going to be because of fraud.
But it hasn't stopped fraud. That's the worst part. There's still fraud happening.
Somebody somewhere at Okta is laughing their ass off about making this sale, convincing Alaska is going to stop fraud. They got their commitment.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's talk about Etihad to Luxembourg. What's going on there, Seth?
Etihad's going to fly to Luxembourg.
That's, I mean,
A321LR with first class cabin. It's, yeah, I don't know.
Seems appropriate.
Well, if you're going to smuggle gold bars, I think you'd want a wide body, but
not if no one's sitting in the cabin.
Fair. I mean, gold bars are very heavy.
Sir, who's this sitting next to you? Well, this is my pet rock.
My 600-pound teddy bear. Don't worry, Nard.
My pet bullion.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've looked at this before recently. I think that would be the longest flight out of Luxembourg.
3,117 miles.
Oh, no. There's a flight to Zhengzhou, China.
What?
According to Sirian, there's a flight to China on the Luxembourg route in June of 2026. CGM
equipment.
I have to switch tabs to look at that, but let's assume something that works.
It's an A380.
They can take all of the Luxair capacity and put it on one plane.
It's a multi-stop.
Yeah. This is a terrible view of this. It doesn't. Sorry, I'm not as good as I should be. A350, 900. Once a week.
That is super interesting.
On China, CZ, China Southern? Yeah.
China Southern, yeah. Is that, so Etihad to Luxembourg, though, when does that start? Is
it? I think it's a little later in the year. I think it's maybe for the winter season.
Okay. Interesting. And then Air Premia has announced they're going to fly to Dulles.
Yeah.
So they fly to Newark now, and yep. LA, I think. But they're starting Dulles. They're kind of, this is again one of those carriers that it's a South Korean carrier, kind of a startup-ish, I would say, low cost carrier. And it's kind of filling the role of like Korean needed to get rid of some of their slots, even though I don't know that Dulles was one of those.
No, and it's not entirely that. I mean, they existed before the merger.
Mm.
So they were trying to be a low cost carrier, picking away, you know, chipping away at some low hanging fruit in the market. I think Dulles is an interesting choice. It's a long route, right? They are a long haul carrier. That's sort of their thing, but Dulles is a long route. I think it would be longer than Newark is for them.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd definitely be longer. I mean, I think the longest for Korean is Atlanta. So super, super interesting.
In the United States. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I wonder what the market is there. Is it on the Dulles side, or is there enough traffic from South Korea?
I think that most of what they're trying has been South Korea originating.
Mm, gotcha.
But I know we have a listener who knows a few things about it. Maybe they'll chime in.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But yeah, that's going to be a... Dulles is listed as the new route. It's starting up soon. It starts up in April. 4 days a week.
That's super interesting. Yeah, 4 days a week is interesting. And then tell me,
Brian, do you like that they call their premium cabin just wide premium?
Yeah.
Some business class, it's wide premium.
Well, it's like Spirit in the big front seat, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the Dahl Scholarship Fund, Seth.
So I was like a flight times also. Actually, the flight times are great. Leave Seoul at 10 a.m., get to Dulles at 11 a.m. I like that. Compared to the Newark flight, which is much worse.
Yeah, the Newark flight leaves super late, doesn't it?
It gets in super late and leaves super late.
Yeah, north flight timings are terrible. But I part of, and then the return is a 1:20 p.m. that gets to Seoul at 6. Those are spectacular flight times.
Yeah. 13 hours?
15. 15 westbound. 15 and a half westbound, which is about right. That's, you know, what it takes. No, those are nice numbers. And their premium is, you know, not cheap, but if I'm doing my conversion right, it's $1,000 one way.
That's not bad. Is it lie flat?
Guess no, it's a premium economy.
Still not bad.
No. Anyway, comes with two check bags.
I'm interested to see if United matches the fares when they launch Newark.
Well, they already apply Newark. Do you think they would launch, or when United launches Newark?
When United launches Newark, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at best, they would match it to premium economy, though, right?
Still isn't bad.
Yeah. United does have the advantage, at least at Newark, of not being at terrible flight times. But United also fly, you know, not doesn't fly Seoul from Dulles, but, you know, certainly has plenty of operations in Dulles. So, Dahl Scholarship Fund. This is a aviation scholarship offered to college. They've changed the rules a little bit. It's offered for people studying aviation in college in memory of Captain Jason Dahl, who, if I remember correctly, was one of the United pilots on one of the 9/11 flights. And it's an organization that I've done some stuff with in the past. So I probably should know more about it than I do, but, it's a cool thing. If you're a college student looking for some help in aviation, they've changed the application rules this year after a record number of applicants last year. You have to have completed one full year of university at a 4-year accredited school and have a 3.5 GPA. But if you can do that, they might have some cash for you.
What?
So I'll put the link in the notes. If you know someone, if you are someone or know someone, studying that sort of thing, let them know. Cause it's a good group of people. So it's a good organization and, you know, good money towards studying.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks. Some airport news. So Western Sydney Airport, the new airport in Sydney looks like it's going to be on time for completion before the end of the year, 2026. Which is good news. So it's undergoing some tests right now. And then the first carriers will be Singapore Airlines to Singapore, Air New Zealand to New Zealand. I think they're just doing Auckland to start. And then Qantas and Jetstar will both have domestic flights within Australia. So look for that in late 2026.
Have they sorted out transit there? Or is it still?
I don't think there's anything yet. I don't think they've sorted any of that out. So that'll make it interesting. I didn't realize how far west Sydney had grown as far as a population.
Okay.
But it's pretty significant. So we'll see. I mean, I think it's going to be useful for folks who live further west in Sydney. But the transportation situation has not been sorted.
Yeah. I mean, you know, certainly it is pretty far out there, huh? Nice option for yes and no. I mean, I'm looking at the scale now of this map. It's actually, as the crow flies, not that far.
Yeah,
it's 50 kilometers from the existing airport.
Yeah, so 30 miles. It's not that far. As the crow flies, like, especially given there's an ocean on the other side, so all the sprawl goes west.
Yeah, I think it's a traffic situation.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly would take longer than that in traffic, but
I mean, they built a new highway out to it, basically. So,
But yeah, that's nifty. I will say, you know, it's also, like, no curfew because it's in the quote unquote middle of nowhere, even though there's definitely housing and, you know, residential near in the region, which is nice. But also, does that matter if you're building a greenfield airport and don't necessarily need overnight flights because you have plenty of capacity during daytime hours when people actually want to fly?
Yeah, I mean, it's a conundrum, right?
But cargo flies at night. What are you going to do about cargo?
Well, does cargo fly at night because it needs to, or does cargo fly at night because that's where it gets slots?
No, it generally flies at night because that's when it needs to, because they collect during the day before they put it on the plane.
Yeah. I mean, it depends in the it depends on the market, right? There's plenty of, like, daytime transatlantic flights eastbound because they can get out and do it and not have to compete with the passenger flights going. Also, I'm just looking at the current satellite shots. It seems like it's a single runway only.
Mm-hmm.
And built in a way that would not allow it to expand beyond that. So that's an interesting choice.
Well, on Wikipedia, there's a map where there's a second runway planned to the south.
Okay. Yeah, I could see sort of where that would go in.
They've kind of got the markings for it already, if you look at the satellite imagery.
Yeah, the taxiway there?
Yep.
Looks like the terminal will become a U with a B back at the bottom of the U towards the southwest.
Okay.
And then there would be another pier, the terminal on the south side of the airport.
Okay. You drive into the middle, basically.
Yes. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, Seth, get it together, man. Jeez.
Okay. Sorry.
What about Addis? You put Addis in here.
I did put Addis in there. We talked about this a little bit ago. They're building a new mega airport in Addis, sort of down off the plateau.
Mm-hmm.
To drop the altitude for departures down and give them way more range. Get rid of the hot and high restrictions. The cornerstone was laid for the start of construction this week.
I mean, last time we talked, we were like, are they actually going to do this? I guess the answer is yes.
The answer seems to be yes. They have started construction. Some of the renderings are pretty slick. It's still amazing to me the level at which they're doing this, given how much I have to think they're into China for their current airport and the, you know, updates. There's just a brand new lounge open and everything else. So they're the new one is still 4 years away, so you got to keep, you know, moving and keep the current thing operating. But it's interesting to see that shift also.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be wild. A350-1000s.
Sorry, I was just saying, if you're flying out of the new Western Sydney airport, there's a giant emu in the sky sculpture nearby that I would like someone to give me a picture of.
All right. Let's talk about A350-1000s.
That's a probably better conversation. Starlux got there first?
They got there first, and it looks like they're really going to use these for Europe? Is that how I'm interpreting it?
I thought Phoenix was needed the 1000.
Well, we're on a 900. Foz and I are on a 900.
Okay, so maybe not.
I
mean, similar layout to the 900s, 4 first, 40 biz, 36 premium economy. I think then the economy cabin will be bigger.
It's a lot of economy seats, 270. And then Philippines Airlines, they got an A350-1000.
Yeah, 426. So sorry, just comparing it to the Starlux 900, the 900s are still 4 first class seats. Only 26 business class seats instead of 40. So definitely more business class, same 36 in premium economy, and then 240 in economy up to 270 on the 1000. So 30 and then 14 more. So 44 more seats.
Yeah. It's a lot more people.
Yeah. Those are big planes with a lot of capacity.
Yep. Yeah. It's right now we're slated on a A350-900 from.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's because it leaves Taipei at 10:45 PM and lands at 4 in the 5 in the morning in Phoenix, and then I think it returns pretty quickly back.
Yeah. If you leave Phoenix early enough, you don't have to worry about
the sun having come up and being hot.
Yeah.
Although how do you, you know, getting people show up in Phoenix for like a 4 AM or, you know, 6 AM departure to Asia is crazy.
And then Philippines Air. What's their
right there? They've got a 351,000 that now has 343 back in the economy.
Ouch.
I saw 333.
Foz is looking puzzled.
Yeah, see, Foz has this very quizzical look on his face.
Going back to Starlux, it lands at 6 p.m.
No. You should refresh your reservation, my friend.
Did it change?
Yes, sir. Mine did.
Mine says an 8:45 departure from Taipei lands at 5:40 p.m.
I was looking at the wrong one. news for you guys. I booked the inaugural from Phoenix to Taipei
next week.
So
instead of going to Europe?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. It's easy to cancel.
You would know.
Sorry, Mets. I've clicked the wrong one. But Philippine Airlines to that 343, that's got to be super tight in the back.
It's, I mean, 10 abreast on a A350 is not unheard of. It has historically been more the Air Caribs and low cost carrier design. And then 242 for premium economy. The 900 is still 242 and then 333. So, it is definitely a tighter squeeze, but they also, I want to say, and I'm looking at it now, like, no. Oh yeah. They have a 333 A330. Instead of 242. So they're not immune to the higher density configurations in general. And certainly 343 on their 777s.
What's the width of a 350 compared to a 777?
Slightly wider.
Which one? The 777?
The 777 is slightly wider. Sorry. No, that's there. Yeah. That's it. If I remember correctly, it does make, is that right? No. It's harder to, because the 777 does 343 easier than the 350 does.
Yeah, 18.5 feet versus 18 feet 5 inches versus 19 feet and 3 inches.
Yeah, so it's 10 inches. The 350 is 10 inches narrower.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, you know, standard number seat, 10 inches, that's an inch narrower per seat.
Yeah. I'll be tight.
Yeah. Super cool for a long haul flying.
Especially if they do like JFK with it.
That would suck.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I don't know if they have it scheduled yet, but.
And then Foz, you put in the notes, an increase to UAE flights to Canada and Saudi Arabia. What's the story?
The Canadian government signed a new agreement this week. I believe it was this week where they've increased. So the reason we don't see a lot of Middle East carriers into Canada is because of a lot of protectionism and there are limits on how much they can fly. But this week, the Canadian government upped UAE flights from 21 to 35 per week and added Saudi Arabia for 14 flights a week.
Okay. All right.
So in theory, Emirates can add two more frequent daily frequencies somewhere into the country now.
Think they add another A380 to Toronto?
I mean, I could see them going to Vancouver now that Air Canada exited Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, because they don't do Vancouver or Dubai anymore, do they?
Nope. They need to play somewhere else. Oh, yeah.
The Air Canada route map, like Foz brought up to me, the Air Canada route map is fascinating.
Yeah. They do a ton out of Vancouver, I know, and some real interesting routes. I didn't realize they had Dubai on it.
But they don't fly to Taipei.
Does anyone else?
Eva does.
Yeah, so.
But, like, the Air Canada's
enough business out there, yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at what Air Canada does, right? And they've grown a lot in Asia, but they skipped over Taipei for whatever reason. They do one that I found this week that I had no idea was Osaka Toronto.
Nice.
But every time I find something, it's just like some new map, which I'm like, okay, some new route that I would have never expected.
If you can't tell, Foz is going to start flying Air Canada a lot more.
Brisbane, Dublin, Frankfurt, Hong Kong, Seoul, Osaka, Heathrow, Manila, Narita, Beijing, Shanghai, Singapore, Sydney are the current long-haul flights for August.
From Vancouver or Toronto?
Vancouver.
Toronto, they have Seoul, Tokyo, Osaka. I mean, they have a few from Toronto Montreal. Now, too.
Montreal.
And Montreal. And they do Sao Paulo from both as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Super interesting stuff. Anything else you guys want to chat about?
You know, Algeria. Algiers for Montreal in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Did want to have a shout out to some of our new Patreon supporters. James F., Richard S., Mason A. Thanks for joining the party, guys.
Yeah, thank you. In our bonus topics, we're going to talk about barbecue, Avello, Dublin slots and passenger cap. And there's a dispute over all this. Radio altimeters and the replacement plan. And then ownership shifts across a couple of airlines. So stick around if you're a Patreon supporter. If not, thanks for listening to the show. And we'll talk to you next week. Happy travels.
Take care.
See you later.